It is such a joy to have this opportunity to just come and bring God's word to the youths. Firstly, I think I bring greetings from Chamber Valley, and I think this afternoon the young people from our church may join you in a physical meeting. A grateful hand to the leadership that has actually extended this invitation to me. And the next thing I want to ask is that we turn to the scripture and we will look at the book of Daniel. I think we will actually be oscillating in that passage of scripture. There we see something that actually seeks to address the question of the theme: continued hope and trusting in God amidst trials. You cannot fail to see this in Daniel and his colleagues Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Let us read one verse from there. I believe and trust you are a Bible reader. You know what the story about Daniel his being resolved not to partake of the delicacies from the royal family is all about. But I will ask that you turn to verse 8 of Daniel and chapter 1, and then I'll be referring to the whole chapter in the process as I preach. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. If you are there, the Bible reads, "But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself." Let us just pray. Our blessed mighty God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we again come this morning with our hearts that are fully dependent on you. Particularly as we live in the time and age when the world has been rocked with a lot of difficulties, not only for the worldlings, but also Christians inclusive. Father God, we pray that you will use this moment to help us indeed be encouraged and strengthened in the most holy faith, to the honor and blessing of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and also to the edification of your church. Father, do these things, we pray, as we ask in Jesus' name. We pray particularly for those who might be following us on the airwaves. Lord, we ask that you will speak to them in accents that are clearer and still, just as if they were present physically in our midst. May the Holy Spirit himself bring about conviction and edification where Christians are concerned. Do these things, Lord, we pray, as we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've entitled my message this morning, Christian Resolve Amidst Hardship. When you look at this passage of scripture, you cannot fail to see what it means for a Christian to really be resolved. And what we have here, friends and brethren, is a model or an example of what we as Christians must emulate. Those who stand trials, those who actually weather the rock of spiritual storms, are just men and women, boys like you and I. A young lady who just became a Christian recently and was excited about the things of God, and she was in an exam class expecting to get the best of her results. But unfortunately, she got quite good results, but not as she expected. But what she realized was, she began thinking, if God loves me, why didn't I get these marks and go to that school? And we were on her side encouraging her. God is sovereign, and what he has given you, you must be content. But trust God, he would definitely come through for you. It wasn't long before she actually was called to the school she wanted, and the Lord put her to shame. Friends and brethren, as we look at this passage of scripture, the book of Daniel is not about Daniel as an individual, though that is basically what we are urged to emulate, but it is about the God of Daniel. And in Daniel chapter 1 here, therefore, we are introduced to Nebuchadnezzar, the king under whom Daniel served, as we have seen in, if you read the chapter 1 up to 4. He was actually being under his rulership. And Daniel and his friends, because of their wisdom, they found favor before this man called Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, again, we see that he actually besieged the Judah kingdom, and he put a puppet king, Joachim. And one of the things he also did was that he actually got the articles of the worship from the house of God and put them into his house or his shrine, if you may call it that way, thinking that perhaps his God is greater than the God of the Jews. By chapter 4 of Daniel, we see that Nebuchadnezzar was humbled to his ground and to the feet, to the end that he worshipped and praised the God of the Jews, acknowledging him as the God of the universe alone. So, as we look at this chapter, in chapter 1, it presents to those who live in the times of the Gentiles, whether Jews or Gentiles, with a model, the goal for which every Christian should strive, as it were, to live. Primarily to please God and to refuse to defile themselves with anything that Jews persistently practiced when they were among the heathens in Babylon. And in our text here, therefore, we see that Daniel and his friends provide us with a biblical model, primarily to obey God, and secondarily to also submit to those who have been put in authority. Secondly, we are actually therefore instructed to strive in holiness of life, no matter what the situation might be. I don't know whether you've been in exile or a refugee, but it's a sorry sight and experience to be found in. And then, secondly, we actually see this text establish the connection between godliness and wisdom. Paul constantly urges the saints to pray that God may endow them with wisdom. And then what we also see is that this source of wisdom is God. And therefore, let he who actually would be wise learn from Daniel and his friends and learn well to that, as it were, which the Spirit teaches us through these men who have been presented to us about godly living in an ungodly world. Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, did not find themselves in Babylon as tourists or as young men who are seeking pleasure. No. They were caught up in the web of exile as refugees, if you might put it this way. This was a serious source of trial. Well, we too, as young people, are actually not an exception from tribulations. And I think that is the reason why the leadership thought it wise to actually give this talk concerning our continued hope and trust in God amidst tribulations. Now, quoting from your invitations, there we see something which suits us in our time. Living in the time of COVID-19 has brought about many anxieties, calamities in the lives of human beings. These calamities, which are not strange to those of the Christian faith, having bred grief and queries, examples of calamities faced are failure of an exam, the loss of love, which leads to some case of suicide among people. Question, friends and brethren, rise is, how can we as youths live amidst adversity? Daniel, in chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, we are introduced to the how to live by this world called Babylon. Now, Babylon is a representation of the world today. Babylon means a God-defying civilization. I think this is coming from chapter 11 of Genesis and verse 4, where the children of God wanted to build a tower to reach heaven. And they said, let us make a name for ourselves so that we are not scattered. Now, God scattered them and they could not go, as it were, ahead and build that. And that tower was called the Tower of Babel. And I think that's where Babylon comes from. A God-defying civilization. And friends and brethren, Daniel, in this text, therefore, he is actually amidst the arena of the enemies. I think we were singing, a mighty fortress is our God. This world is full of devils. And then we also see the historical context of this text is that Judah was actually captivated in the year 600 BC in Babylon by the king called Nebuchadnezzar. And what is it that
we want to learn as we look at this passage of scripture. Oh, friends and brethren, just as Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the foreign Babylon, we too are actually in the fallen world called Babylon at this point in time. We are but strangers in this world. We are just passing through. And therefore, like Daniel and his friends are strangers in this hostile world, which is trying, as it were, to press us into its mud by seducing us to try and cause us to partake of the forbidden fruit. So we must resolve. We must make a determination. Like the Apostle Paul would say to the church at Rome in Romans 12 and verse 2. We must, as it were, not conform to the world, to the standards of the world, but we must have a renewed mind. Therefore, as we look at King Nebuchadnezzar, he captured Israel and kept them in exile as refugees. And that's what we have read in the verse, or we see in verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came and besieged it, referring to Judah. Now, this captor is not selective. It is all-encompassing, both those who fear God and those who don't. Telling us something about this tribulation, that it is all-encompassing. It falls on all, whether Christians or non-Christians. So, hardship, therefore, and tribulation, no matter how hard it might be, it affects all Adam's children with a fallen nature. As you might be refreshed from Genesis, our forefathers, they are four throughout the entire posterity in quandary. And therefore we suffer and we actually die because of that one act of disobedience of the first forefather. There are three things I want us to appreciate as we look at this passage of scripture. Firstly, I want you to appreciate with me, amidst all these I've mentioned and what we go through as affliction, the need for us to persevere. It is only those who will persevere who will reach or who will be saved. And secondly, the need to strengthen your faith in God. When the rock of tribulation, or the fire of the furnace of tribulation, blows hot, what is it that you are to do? Daniel and his colleagues, they resolved not to defile themselves. You too are to strengthen yourself in the faith by making a heart resolution not to give in to pressure. Thirdly, the benefit of not caving in to tribulation. Those three things will cover our study this morning. Firstly, therefore, the need for perseverance. We see this in verse 3 to verse 7. But let me just read the first two verses there. Then the king told Ashpenaz, the chief of the officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal families and of the nobles, youths in whom there was no impairment, who are good-looking, suitable for instruction in every kind of expertise, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had ability to serve in the king's court.
Friends and brethren, it does not matter how much back to the sender's slogan might be enchanted, as it were, by the world today. Life's trials and afflictions are part and parcel of every Christian life. It does not mean that when you become a Christian, then you will just be having 6 points. No! Oh, when you become a Christian, there will be no sickness or no brokenness. No! It is a parcel that indeed we've inherited from the fall.
We see the Lord Jesus Christ encouraging his disciples in John chapter 16 and verse 33 when he says, In this world you will have trouble. He did not hide to them. You will suffer.
Friends and brethren, being a stranger, therefore, in a foreign land, as a captive, is a state of vulnerability.
Daniel, his three friends, under the kingship of Nebuchadnezzar's sophisticated conspiring, were in the same humbling situation and had every excuse to compromise, because who wouldn't understand? You are actually taken away from your people, from your parents, and thrown into the foreign land where nobody knows you. Who will care when you backslide? But they did not. So, the message we see here is that what we need, because though we are Christians in God's kingdom, we are in the world that is hostile to our faith. The people around us, the system that surrounds us, and even including the nature itself, it is hostile to man. And we can easily be tempted to cave in because we are in the minority. Dangers of the church today, friends and brethren, is not about the looming World War III, which is being perpetrated by Russia and the NATO allies. No! That's not the danger to the church today. It is easy to weather that as Christians. But the great danger has to do with compromise and conformity to the world. And that is the point here, friends and brethren. When he talks about not, as it were, giving in, as it were, to the temptation of the frivolities given to him as delicacies, he was actually concerned about defiling himself. Compromise and conformity to the world mode is the major enemy we have, friends and brethren. I'm sure those of you who have been to the university or colleges, you've experienced or you've seen some. When they left us, they were bubbling up in faith and encouragement and exhortations. But today when you meet them, a year or two down the line, they are just a shell of themselves. What has happened? They have been, as it were, squeezed into the mud, and they have conformed to the pattern of that sphere. But the question is, what counsel can we learn from Daniel's writing and his life amidst trials? Note with me that, firstly, do not be conformed to the lifestyle of the world. It's a must not do. And that's what we see demonstrated to us in that text I read to you in verse 3 to verse 7. Having had defeated Judah militarily, King Nebuchadnezzar thought of conquering the Jews religiously by, as it were, turning their children into Babylonians. But Daniel and his three friends still remained loyal to their forefathers' religion. Like that song, give me that old time religion, which was good for Elijah. It was good, as it were, for Moses. And it is also good for me, to me, here today, in this situation. They held on to their father's religion. Brethren, now what we have here is that previously Israel was actually, as it were, captured or was enslaved by Pharaoh through the use of a whip and domination. But now what we have here is that Nebuchadnezzar uses, as it were, integration or assimilation. And that's basically what he does here. Though they were, as it were, they may be many of peers among you who have conformed to the spirit of the age. The point is that it does not need to be you. Yes, everybody is falling, and this one has done this and that and that. It must not be you. And you can only do that when you are determined within your heart. Not with me, four things in which we see Nebuchadnezzar's sophisticated conspiring demonstrated to us in this text of scripture. Firstly, personal isolation. What we have here is that he pulled them away from their family, from their community, and from their people. And that's what we see in verse 3 of Daniel. Though this may not actually always be a physical isolation, the world has, as it were, introduced to us what is called civilization. And in this civilization, there is use of the gadgets. And these gadgets have brought about this isolation. I don't know how many of you have noted isolation in a family where people, each and everyone, is busy on their gadget, either laptop, either iPad, or the phone, or whatever it is. And yet, they are in the family. Brethren, we cannot run away from the use of these gadgets. We need them like yesterday. But we can resolve not to have these gadgets master us. And that's where the big problem is. The problem is not the gadget. The problem is the mindset of us when we are in possession of it. It begins to control us. Oh, friends and brethren, this worldly man, though he was not a Christian, but I agree with his postulation, Albert Einstein, concerning the current generation. Listen to what he says concerning the current generation. I fear the day that technology will surpass our human interaction. The world will have a generation of idiots. This is very important. Two people in a relationship, they have gone on courtship. Each one is surfing and the other one is surfing. They are not relating. When they get married, they are strangers in the marriage. Isn't that a generation of idiots? A family has gone, as it were, to the, is it for outing or whatever it is, spend three quarters of their time surfing in Siavonga, and they come back driving and they say they had fun. personal isolation. Not only did he, we see in this sophisticated conspiracy or conspiring, personal isolation, but he also used intellectual indoctrination. And this is basically what we see. They underwent this brainwashing propaganda by being Babylonized, if there is such kind of a term, by learning, as it were, the language, the culture of the Chaldeans, and we see this in verse 4. Now, the essence of all this indoctrination by the Babylon programming strategy was to squeeze Yahweh out of them and to infuse in them Marduk, who is their chief idol god. So, this learning was not only, as it were, about science, but it included astrology and magic, so that they become wise men of Babylon. Beware of the schools you choose to go to. There is no perfect, good, and holy school in the world, in this fallen world. But be wary of this indoctrination, which actually seeks to squeeze out God from us and infuse in us the worldly, as it were, goddesses and gods. Thirdly, we see in this sophistication a moral seduction. There was also this aspect of moral seduction. Verse 5, the king allotted to them a daily ration for the king's from the king's choice food and from the wine which they drank. Now, there was something about the king's food in those years. And one of it was that it was actually consecrated to idols. Now, what we have here, friends and brethren, is that doesn't this border on morality when their countrymen out there are busy, as it were, striving and suffering even for a meal? Maybe they have no food to eat. And yet here are these men busy feasting on the delicacies when their mothers, brothers, and fathers are busy starving. A place where I worked for the last time I did, I was the only one who was entitled to medical scheme and well treated. I was to fend for my children. When I asked, that was the condition which was there. But you know what I did? I retired for the past 10 years I worked there. I never made use of the medical scheme. We would use the ordinary UTH and whatever it is that is there. That is morality, friends and brethren. Not only do we see moral seduction introduced to us in this sophisticated conspiring, but we also see religious confusion. Then we also see this confusion in the 6 and 7. What do we see there? The change of names. And we have been told originally these names were, as it were, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. These names were changed. Listen to what these names were. See the rich, as it were, message behind them. Daniel, God is my judge. Hananiah, the Lord is gracious. Mishael, who is what the Lord is? Abednego, who is Azariah? The Lord is helper. Now, what happened was that all these Babylonians' name given to them were after their own gods. Meaning, the loss of identity the people of God were going to actually experience just become Babylonians. Oh, friends and brethren, the name, or to name someone, is actually an entailing of authority over them. Adam named all the animals when God actually created him and put him in the garden, including the woman. He called her Eve, or is it Isha? Him being Ish. And what did he call? Because she is the bone of my flesh. Or is it bone of my bone? Flesh of my flesh. Brethren, we all face the same kind of pressure from the world. And more especially, you, our young people. How many of your friends have been sent out to college and university by their families and the church? And they may be actually be in an environment outnumbered by the world around them, and they become vulnerable and end up compromising. One of the friends I had when I came to college, when there was a riot at school, I saw him, he was in the forefront throwing stones. Then I said, I didn't know this part of you. Then he just said in me, everybody's doing it. How many of you who are good boys and girls here at church and in the community, when you go out there, you become wild in the name of solidarity? No, we were just giving solidarity. Or else you actually be seen as a coward. Friends and brethren, what we have here is that though you may be in exile, your duty is to bear the portrait of your master, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the world may change your name, but cannot change your heart. That's the point. Brethren, your parents and your guardians may not always be there. You will be faced, as it were, with various world views, indoctrination, evolution, feminism, drug addiction, LGBT, cohabiting, and transgender, to mention only a few. These will pose challenges to you and are still doing so. By God's grace, be determined not to be conformed to this world. When faced with temptation, remember who you are. That is exactly what Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they remembered who they were before God. Oh, friends and brethren, therefore, give God the glory for your physical, intellectual capacity, spiritual success. You ultimately have, as it were, to trust God. Sometimes we want to trust God when we know the end result, but we must actually do like that song. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Even when we do not know what the outcome is, we must trust God. Like this afternoon, we will see the men who resolved, whether they know what the outcome is or they don't, they resolved to contend, as it were, for the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, standing as one man. Secondly, the need to strengthen yourself in the faith of God. We see this in verse 8 to verse 16. I'll read the first verse 8. Daniel made up his mind, and I think the mother's, Daniel resolved, made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wines which he drinks. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Friends and brethren, good Christians who hope and trust in God will resolve not to defile themselves with worldly filth, no matter what the situation might be. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, there we see, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passion, to live a self-controlled, upright, and godly life in this present age." That is our motivation. Daniel and his friends faced, as they were faced with different tests, and they passed them all. Brethren, we are not going to flee from this world's sin. We are not going to live the life of an hermit, the hermits of isolation, and live in the caves or monasteries to run away from the dirt and filth of this world. No! That is not the formula for fighting this world which is seducing us. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10, there the Apostle Paul brings an aspect of saying, we would have actually then have left if we actually become Christians and are raptured. But what will then, who will minister to the people of the world? 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10, not all, meaning the sexual immoral of the world, the greed and the swindlers and the idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. Friends, we cannot evacuate and go out of the world because of these, as it were, afflictions. What was the cause for Daniel's firm position even against all odds? First, we've seen his first passing of the test at table. He stood firm on the principles of his faith. His first formula was not seclusion, but it was resolve or resolution. You need to resolve, my dear friend. You need to have a heart that is determined to resolve not to cave into this insinuation of this world. And I think Daniel had in his mind fresh the teachings of his father, as we see it demonstrated to us in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 to 8. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You see why the resolution is very important. Shall be on your heart. You shall repeat them diligently to your sons and speak to them when you sit in your house, and when you walk on the road, and when you lie in down, and when you get up. And that is basically what he was reciting. It was like the part of the food was seductive in nature among the Babylonians, which he rejected. What is it that we appreciate, your friend and brethren? Every genuine Christian will be tested. Don't be cheated that when you become a Christian, all will be plain sailing. Every genuine Christian will be tested. And if you are a Christian and you've never had any test or trial, I pity you. Watch your life. If you are truly saved, you may be a backslider, because you are not a threat to the devil. Daniel resolved in his heart not to defile himself. His action with reference to God and man were motivated and governed by biblical principles of submission. This is what he learned from the Father's teaching during devotion. In Proverbs chapter 23, there we see something which I think he would have also been reciting. Do not desire the king's delicacies, for it is deceptive food. I think you've seen what Ashpenaz sought to do, and the Lord came in positively for the young man. The other thing which we see is that you too will be tested. So don't be, as it were, indolent, thinking all is well. Friends and brethren, we need to make up our mind what we actually, our standards are. God will give you the grace in every tempting situation, but you are responsible, as it were, to flee occasions of temptations and to stand your ground in times of temptations or allurement. That is basically about every Christian to be tested. Secondly, every Christian needs to live wisely. Paul constantly prays to God that he may indwell the Christian in the church as established with wisdom. Wisdom is that application of knowledge, and in particular God's knowledge, to the maximum benefit. Daniel pursued a solution with wisdom, tact, as it were. Not only wisdom and tact, but also with persistence. He actually, his proposal was submissive because it sought, as it were, the permission from those who directly watched over him. He did not actually look down on them as heathens. I think that's the problem why we don't win men or boys and girls to the Lord. We actually miss this part aspect of wisdom. But what Daniel did was what the Proverbs say: a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word steers anger. And you consider it as persecution because you lack wisdom? Oh, friends and brethren, are we lacking wisdom? Let us pray to him who gives abundantly, that he may give us wisdom. Thirdly, every Christian is royalty. And that's the point there, friends and brethren. A person who calls himself a Christian and he indulges himself in everything that the world does is a sham to religion. You know, even when the prince wants to have fun with the world, they always try to guard them. They're always within the group of royalty. Why? That's what we are. And that's the point here, friends and brethren. Daniel teaches us here that he teaches us how to live as citizens of God's kingdom in a hostile and foreign land. Firstly, our situation. We are actually to live in this world as strangers in an alien land. When you are a stranger, you really watch your life. You see how you actually move in a strange land. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, he echoes the same word: we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. That's our situation. Secondly, our labors. God and his children are known, as it were, to be hard workers. Even when they are working under the mean boss, they still discharge their duties properly and undeservedly. Unfortunately, a Christian who is not a hard worker or a lazy Christian is not a truly reflection of the Lord and his loyal family. God, from right in the beginning, he was working. And he has been working. He puts Adam in charge of the garden. To lazy about and leisure. No, to work it and keep it. How come you just love surfing on your phone, sleeping and eating, no work whatsoever? What kind of a youth are you? Not only do we appreciate our labors, but we see in here in our labors, Daniel had also prophesied about this captivity of 70 years in Babylon. And in that council, he urged them to work, to build, and to do whatever they can do. If they school, go to school and do whatever it is. Because it is that there were false prophets who were saying, soon and very soon, we are leaving the captivity. But Daniel did not buy into that. He worked and he labored to the glory of God. Fourthly, your focus while here below. It is to remember where your true citizenship is. But don't compromise with unbelievers' authority. The disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ in Acts 5 verse 29, when they are told, stop preaching Christ in this name, or stop preaching this name to the people, and if you do that, we will definitely arrest you. What was their response? Judge for yourselves. We would rather obey God rather than man. And that must be our focus and our emulations. Not only do we appreciate the fact that this is what our stand is, but fifthly, be separate in what is right and just. God forbid that when there's something wrong, you are the culprit who is in the forefront. Be separate from that. Finally, labor to be an example to all. We are not told whether Daniel was the leader among these four brethren, or three brethren, or including him four. But one thing you see is that he exercised leadership, and that leadership paid. The same, actually, we see in chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they reproduce the aspect of the example of being resolved. When the king says, bow to this statue or I throw you into the furnace. Oh, friends and brethren, God's past faithfulness encourages the present and the future faithfulness, future faith. When we are wise or wisely and respectfully appeal to those in authority and seek their good, we can be a person of principle without being rude. The world around you will be all kinds of things, and some of them will even do ugly things, but that does not stop you from being a blessing by working very hard. Why? Our work is not to him, it is unto the Lord. So thirdly and finally, the benefit of not caving to tribulation. We see this in verse 9, verse 15, verse 17, up to verse 21. But let me just read one of those. Now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commanders of all the officials. See what God did? The other part, we see down there is that as for every matter of expertise and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than the soothsayers, priests, and magicians who were in all its realm. Friends and brethren, to those who take care of God's business in this world faithfully, God will also take care of their business here and beyond. Psalm chapter 5 verse 12, "For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with the shield." In this account, we observe God's sovereign bodyguarding for his children. Oftentimes, when God's Spirit gives resolution in the heart, he oftentimes put us, as it were, a force shield, and also protects or builds a hedge around us. He did this to Daniel. He did this to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as we see it in chapter 3 and chapter 6, when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. The Lord gave them a force shield, even in the furnace. Now, friends and brethren, we must actually put this straight. It is not always that God immediately brings this bodyguard shield. Stephen, a holy man, was allowed to be stoned to death. God never delivered him from that. Matters from whom we actually owe our existence and our theologies, they actually paid it with their blood and sealed the gospel with blood. God never delivered them from death. However, in this situation, we see God's sovereign bodyguarding, saving, as it were, miraculously, Daniel from the claws of this man called Nebuchadnezzar. Even amidst a lot of accusations from the world, he still was shielded by God. What then does Daniel teach us in this, friends and brethren? Firstly, Christian witness and evangelism. Nebuchadnezzar and his cohorts were actually true heathens. They may not have been actually paying attention to their faith, the faith of Daniel, but their kind and way of life spoke a lot to the heathens. And it is this, Daniel didn't actually call him to repent and believe in God. He saw God in the character of Daniel. And what have we been told? Nebuchadnezzar revered God. Our devotion to God. These heathens noticed Daniel and his friends not because of their faithfulness to God, but because of their submissive spirit, strong body, and scholarly mind. As Christians, we need to excel. God forbid that at university or wherever it is, we'll be hunting for leakages because we don't study. We must work hard. We may not get, as it were, A plus or whatever it is, merit or what, but we will actually pass to the glory of God because we've been working hard. Thirdly, all-round witness. It is little wonder that many Christians have poor testimonies with their employers, classmates and schoolmates, co-workers today. Many Christians think, as it were, their work as secular and unspiritual. But they do not actually excel or even try, as it were, to do their job well. They'll be busy witnessing at work, witnessing at this, reading as it were. Stealing company's time, but they are getting paid. Not so with Daniel. There is time for everything. Time to work is our time as Christians. We must actually put in the full shift. Even if the government has got blind eyes, God forbid that we work and say, Niva Boma, that is stealing from God. Brethren, the battle is still out there. Take your stand. Fight the good fight of faith. You will not regret being on the Lord's side. Take your stand for Christ Jesus, who was beaten for you. How can you do such a thing of betrayal and eat the forbidden fruit? This is the way to continued hoping and trusting in God amidst tribulation and affliction. Use your influence for God's glory. For God's blessings is not always experienced immediately. But instead, be patient. We must conclude, friends and brethren, with a few remarks. We too, like Daniel, are in Babylon in this world. We have our dual nationalities. I think you are very popular, conversant with dual nationality. I think that's what we have been having in Zambia. As Christians, we have a dual nationality. One in heavenly kingdom and the other one here on earthly kingdom. Philippians chapter 3 verse 20. But God is at work even in the times of hardship and adversity. He has no, as it were, he has not cast you off as his people when you are going through times of hardship and trial. So, dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand as it were alone. Dare to have a purpose firm, and dare to make it known. But the question is, where is Christ in Daniel? Wow! Daniel shows us a type of Christ. As we see, Christ was faced with greatest possible temptation, and he did not compromise or cave in. So did Daniel. Christ Jesus dealt gently with unbelievers who opposed him, and so did Daniel. We need Jesus because we fall short of the glory and standards of God. Jesus makes us fit, as it were, to be in the presence of the King, and he can do that for you today, who is a stranger to him, by repentance of your sins towards God and faith in Christ Jesus. Only then will you be fit to make a resolve that lasts the test of time. May God add a blessing to his word. Amen. Let us pray. Our dear gracious God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus, we are amazed at how you graciously take care of those of your own. Those who take care of your business. You have shown yourself faithful by taking care of their business, not only here, but in the life to come. May it be true of one of the young people who is listening to us, or anyone who is listening to this, your word. I don't know, God, pray. As we ask all these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
We thank God for the preaching of his word. In closing, we are going to sing Trials Dark on Every Hand. Trials Dark on Every Hand, Grace Hymns Supplement 208. Trials Dark on Every Hand.
blessed promised land, but he guides us with his eye, and we follow till we die. We will understand it better by and by.
Session, but before we close off, I'll just give you a few announcements. So for those who are watching online, the next session begins at 14 hours, and this session is going to be a physical session. So we encourage you to be at church by 14 hours so that we can get started with the program. If you had joined the program online at any point and have missed anything that has been preached, or even the activities that had happened before in terms of singing, the testimonies that were shared, feel free to just watch the live stream again, because it will be available online as soon as the session comes to an end. But if you'd also like to get the sermon downloaded, it's going to be available on the KBC sermon audio platform, so that you can download it and listen to it anytime that's convenient for you. We have come to the end. God bless, and I hope to see you at 14 hours. Mm-hmm.